This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful, wonderful day to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you. Whether you're worshiping with us here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream, we're grateful to be together in the presence of the Spirit. One of the ways that we like to know who is here is to ask folks to register your attendance as you gather. So if you're worshiping online, there should be a link there that you can put in your browser to register. And here in the sanctuary, we have good old paper and pencil. There are registration pads on the center aisle of each row. And if you'll make sure and pass those down, or if you're on a row and at the end, be sure and grab that registration pad and fill it out for us. If you're visiting with us, I've had a chance to meet some folks who are. We're so glad that you're with us. If you'd be willing to share a mailing address or email address or phone number, that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and begin a conversation about who we're called to be and how we can be in ministry with you. If you are a college student, we're really glad that you're here, and we invite you to join other college students for lunch after this service. Just back there in the narthex, we'll meet at noon, and we'll walk together and have lunch together after the service. Many of you know that the season of Lent begins this week, but before it begins, we have Shrove Tuesday and a great celebration with jazz, mass, and a pancake supper. That will be this Tuesday night. Pancake supper at 5, and the service is at 6:30. It's a great tradition here at West End, so if you've never been before, make this the year that you come to that service. The next day is Ash Wednesday, when we begin the 40-day journey of Lent. We'll have a service at noon and at 6:15. You don't need to come to both. Just pick one that fits your schedule, and we will prepare ourselves for the journey together. As always, during Lent, we have concerts at noon on Thursdays. It's an opportunity to hear contemplative and beautiful music and then share in lunch together. There are more details about all of these things in your bulletin this morning. And finally, I wanted to let you know that next Sunday, we'll have our first large gathering for those who would like to come and talk about the Bible. Many of you have committed to reading through the Bible this year, but even if you haven't, you're invited to come to this gathering. It will be a potluck supper, and then we'll be at our tables together and have some conversation and learning around these first 5 books of the Bible that we have finished together. Again, more information in your bulletin. So today finds us in the 5th book of the Bible, the last book of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, in which we are called to love God with our heart, soul, and strength. May this time of worship be an expression of our love for God.
Thank you. Gather us in, Lord, and hear our prayers. Gather us in, Lord, and heal our spirits. Gather us in, Lord, and open our hearts to receive your word. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with confidence as children of God. O God, in these perplexing days, we confess that we are tempted to give up and turn away from the path you would have us go. Forgive us, we pray. We ask that you would increase our faith, that you would enlarge our capacity to forgive, that you would guide our stumbling feet in the way that leads to life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. One of the great joys of a church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ryan and Brittany Shelton bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I have a few questions for you. Ryan and Brittany, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? We do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? We do. Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you into your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news
and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child?
Nora Scott.
Nora Scott? Go over to Mama. We're going to be happy and healthy. Nora Scott, I baptize you in the name of God, the Creator, the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer, and Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Now let's put our hands on Nora, and we'll pray that the Holy Spirit be with her. Nora, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you'll be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your life. Amen. All right, Nora, we're going to go walk to the center of the church. Yeah. We're walking with our immediate family, and we get to see our big church family now. Yeah, exactly. Wave high. You can wave. Perfect. Yep. I love it. Good job.
Face Nora Scott. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Nora Scott to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Nora Scott, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 12, 20 through 25. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. When your children ask in the time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case, if we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, he has commanded us, we will be in the right. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and as the grown-ups are being seated, I'll invite any kids who want to come forward to join me and Pastor Nancy up here. And if you're watching online, just get a little closer to your screens. Hey, come on up. Glad to see everybody. What a happy day to celebrate Nora Scott's baptism and hear all the beautiful music. Come on up. Well, one of the things I hope you hear a lot at church and at home is that God loves you. God loves you, and what we usually say is unconditionally, which is a big long word, which means God will always love you, God always has loved you, and there's nothing ever that will change that. In the scripture that Mr. Brandon read for us, we heard an invitation to love God back. So God loves us no matter what. And what we get to do is love God back and find all sorts of ways to say to God, I love you, God. We love you, God. That's part of what we do when we sing our first hymn. It's a hymn of praise saying, we love you, God. And you guys are so good at showing love. And so maybe you can help me and your parents and all of us in church remember to say, we love you, God. To say it with our words and then to show it with our actions when we love other people. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you so much for loving us. What an amazing gift that you love us no matter what. Help us now learn to love you because you are good and gracious. And help us to show our love for you in all sorts of ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. Now, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Nancy. And if you're older than that, or you'd rather, you can go back sit with friends and family. Since January 8th, we have been making our way through the Bible together on Sunday mornings. Now, there are some of you who have made the commitment to be reading along and to be reading through the whole Bible this year, all the way until we start Advent in early December. Others of us are coming on Sunday mornings and hearing from the different books of the Bible as we move along. If you were here on January 8th, as we began that journey together, one of the things I said to you was that there are going to be certain themes that we come across throughout the Bible, things that are expressed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament from the beginning to the end. The example I gave in that sermon was about how Adam and Eve, in that second creation story, hide from God. And God goes looking for them and seeking them. And throughout the stories of the Bible, we're going to come across people like Moses, like the prophets, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who step out and say, here I am, who respond to God and offer their full selves to God. So that's one of the little themes that we may come across from time to time. But this morning, what we've hit upon in the book of Deuteronomy is the theme, I believe, the overarching theme of all of Scripture, what lies at the heart of it all, at the foundation of it all, and that is love. One day Jesus was teaching and a scribe came to him and said, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? Now Jesus was a faithful Jew. He knew the Torah, these first 5 books of the Bible. He knew all 600 plus laws that are laid out in the Torah. And his answer was very simple. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus wasn't being original here. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, these words that we've just heard, and from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. love God and love your neighbor. And what Jesus does in that moment is to make it one commandment, to make it very clear that you can't have one without the other. That is a theme that goes across the scriptures. We hear it in the prophets who say, your sacrifices, your worship, your right opinions mean nothing to God unless you also are caring for the poor and the vulnerable. How can you say you love God in the temple and then turn your back on the widow and the orphan and the immigrant in your land? And we hear it again at the very end, almost the very end of the Bible, in the letter of 1 John, when he says, how can you say you love God whom you cannot see if you do not also love your neighbor whom you can see? So love of God and love of neighbor are at the heart of the scriptures. John Wesley taught the same thing. The founder of Methodism believed that love of God and love of neighbor is what the salvation is all about. It's a journey of growing ever deeper in love with God and ever deeper in love with our neighbors. And he even believed we could find completion in that love, that our love could be made perfect in this lifetime. We'll sing about that in our closing hymn by Charles Wesley. So it's all about love of God and love of neighbor. Now this morning we're going to lean into that first part of Jesus' teaching, love God with your whole heart, soul, and strength, because we find it here in Deuteronomy. Now what's happening in this moment of the scriptures? This is the fifth book of the Torah. We know that in Exodus, God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and that for 40 years they have been wandering in the wilderness, and God over that time has been shaping them and teaching them the way of life God wants them to lead, giving them the law, teaching them how to worship, and feeding them, giving them water, showing mercy to them, even though over and over again they fail to trust God. So now they've reached this point, 40 years are past, and they're about to cross into the promised land. If you were here last week, you know this is a whole nother generation. That first generation that were delivered from slavery are all gone. This is a new generation ready to enter the promised land. But Moses is not allowed to go with them. So the book of Deuteronomy is written as Moses' final words to the people of Israel as he is preparing to die and as they are preparing to enter the promised land. So imagine yourself in Moses' shoes if you knew that these were your last words to a group of people that you really cared about. What would you say? And so we have the book of Deuteronomy, which has Moses retelling the story of God's faithfulness. Remember how God led us out of slavery in Egypt and traveled with us and has taught us the ways of the law. He reiterates many of those laws. And then in chapter 5, he restates the Ten Commandments. And then we get to chapter 6, where he says, I think, as far as my research has shown me, something new. Not only shall you follow all of these other commandments, but you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. He's revealing here that this whole covenant with God is a covenant of love. That God is a God who doesn't just want a people to obey God and to follow all these rules. God wants to be in loving relationship with Israel. God wants their love in return. Love the Lord your God. And as I pondered this commandment this week, I began to ask myself, do I love God? I invite you to ponder that question for yourself, too. Do you love God? Is that our motivation for singing the songs that we sing and doing the things that we do? Do we delight in God's love and God's presence? That's an important question that this text asks of us. And if we're not sure, or if we do and then we don't, we do and we don't, this text, as we dive into it, gives us some practices, some ways that we can cultivate love for God in our lives. So I want to dig into some of these teachings and see if they're helpful for you and for me. The scripture says, take these words into your heart. Let them sink in to the very core of who you are. Hear this news that God loves you and God wants to be in loving relationship with you. Sometimes taking something into our heart is helped by memorizing it. So maybe we could memorize this verse if you haven't already. Love the Lord your God. And if hand motions help, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Memorize that. Repeat it when you wake up and before you go to sleep, so that perhaps over time it might sink into your heart that you really are loved and nothing will ever change that, and that your primary calling is to love God in return. Then the scripture says, write it on your hands. Isn't that interesting? Who knows what all that could mean? But what that says to me as I think about it is, ponder all of the different things you do with your hands, with your feet. Are those things defined by your love of God, by your relationship with God? What about all those emails that you type? Or the Facebook comments that you make, or the texts that you send? Are your hands guided by this love of God with all your heart, soul, and strength? The diapers that you change, the meals that you cook, the hands that you shake as you're making a deal, the choirs that you conduct, the instruments that you play, all of the things that we do with our hands, we do out of love for God. Write them on your forehead, the scripture says. Now, for many of our Jewish friends, over many centuries, there's been an actual literal practice of this. There's a thing called a phylactery that some of our Orthodox Jewish friends wear. And in it is contained a parchment with Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. See, I memorized it. But what does it mean to have that on your forehead? What it makes me think of is, this is where my thoughts are. And what would it look like to have the love of God holding my thoughts? Now, brain scientists will tell us, and they're right, that we all have monkey brain. Our brains just are thinking all the time, just producing all sorts of thoughts. If you try to practice centering prayer or meditation, you know this all too well. But this is a reminder that our thoughts are not us. They're just thoughts. And what if we can notice our thoughts and filter them through the love of God? How might that help shape how we think about ourselves? All these thoughts like, you're not good enough, you failed. All these thoughts about others, those people over there. All these thoughts about the person who just cut me off in traffic. What if I allowed that to filter through the love of God? And then the scripture says, bind them, place them on your doorposts. Now, again, many of our Jewish friends have an actual thing called a mezuzah. If any of you have ever seen a mezuzah, it's a little box that they place on the threshold of the door. Inside it, a parchment in Hebrew with these verses in it. And as they go out, they'll touch the mezuzah, kiss and touch. Or as they come in, they'll do the same. A gentle reminder, as I'm going out into the world, leaving the safety of my home, that the Lord goes with me, that everything I do out in the world is defined by love of God. Or as they come home from a hard day at work to a house that may not be clean or maybe in a bit of chaos, to remember how I am in my home is shaped and defined by this loving relationship I have with God. Which brings me to the final instruction that is given in this section of Deuteronomy, and it's repeated more than once. Pass these words on to your children. Teach them to the next generation. Now, I think about those of us who are parents. What does that invite us to do? How does that invite us to live out our faith at home? Knowing our kids are going to get stuff in Sunday school and in vacation Bible school, but how do we teach them about the love of God at home? The scripture says, tell them about the amazing things God has done. If we were to tell our children about our experiences of God and how we have fallen in love with God and why we trust God. You know, my children are 18 and 21, and David and I figured out about age 13 or 14, it really didn't matter what we said because what they're hearing is wah, 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 wah. But it still matters what we do and how we treat them and how we treat each other and how we tell the story. But this teaching isn't just for parents, for people who have children in their family. It's for us as a church. How do we as a church raise our children in the love of God with the absolute assurance that they are loved unconditionally and showing them ways to love God in return? We've just made some promises to little Nora Scott, who is peacefully asleep. That just looks like the picture of peace right there. But we've made promises to her that as a congregation, we're going to teach her and show her what love looks like and how it's lived out and acted out in our lives. We want to make sure that she, when she goes off and launches into her next season of life, that she knows in her heart that God loves her. And she has some ideas about how to live that out. So we have a responsibility as a church, but not just for the children of this church, for the children beyond this church. How are the children in our community learning from West End United Methodist Church that they are loved by God unconditionally and that they're invited into a relationship with God that lasts all their lives and they'll never get to the bottom of it? That's a great question for our children's ministry and for all of us. How do we shine that loving light to the children of our community? So we have all these concrete things we can do. And as we're entering into the season of Lent, maybe there's an idea in some of this that excites your attention. Something that you can do to wake up in the morning and say, I love you, God. Or to put something on your hand that makes you remember as you're typing those emails. Oh, yes, these are coming out of love for God. And all of these things we do, not because they're rules or regulations or even commandments, but because that's what life with God is all about. This past Wednesday night, I was at Lebanon First United Methodist Church at a Bible study hosted by our bishop. Some of you know that Bishop McAlilly was in a terrible car accident at the end of August, and he had multiple surgeries and was on medical leave for several months. And he's back in the office now, and he's traveling to the different districts and inviting people to come and join in Bible study. It was really good to see him. And he was talking about love in the 15th and 16th chapters of John's Gospel. But one of the things he said really made me think about this morning and this text for today. He said, have you ever known a mature Christian? Someone who would you say is spiritually mature? Think about that. If you have someone you can think of, bring them to mind. Would you say that their faith is deep because they know the scriptures backwards and forwards? Probably not. Because they're in church every Sunday? Maybe not. Because of the money they give, or because they have the right, correct, orthodox theology, or they have the right opinions about all the issues? Probably not. At least for me, when I think of someone who is mature in the faith, it's because of how they love. So, my friends, let us continue the journey, growing ever deeper in love with God and with our neighbor. That is what it's all about.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? Number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card located in the racks in front of you and place those in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Grace Eleanor Culver, who was born February 9th in Washington, D.C., to David and Mary Morgan Limperis Culver. She's also welcomed by her aunt, Emily Culver Bigelow, cousins Anna and Peter Bigelow, and grandparents Jim and Nancy Niece Culver. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Steadfast and loving God, we praise you this morning for your faithfulness in all generations, and for the saints of the faith who told your story over and over again, that we might inherit the gifts of your kingdom. We give you thanks for life and for love, for companionship and for community. We give you thanks that we too get to bear witness to your goodness and love in the world, at home and at school, at work and at play. We pray this day for those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and we ask that you would grant them healing. We lift up to you those who are grieving, and we lift up those who are anxious about the future. Comfort them, O God, and give them your peace. We pray for those who struggle with their faith, for those who doubt, and for those who have forgotten your story and their place in it. Grant them your grace and the assurance that, despite their struggle, your love is unconditional and unfading. We pray this morning for those whose lives are at risk, for those who do not have enough to eat or adequate shelter, for those whose homes are places of violence rather than safety. We also continue to remember the people of Turkey and Syria whose lives and livelihoods have been devastated by the earthquake there. O God of grace, grant each of these your provision for each day, and empower all of us to work for the flourishing of all people. O God, may your word be ever before us and always within our hearts. Help us to love you as deeply and as faithfully as you have loved us. And help us to tell the story of your great love wherever we may go. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who loves us and who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates in a moment. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us.
General Charles Wesley. He gave us words to sing about this journey that we're on of growing ever deeper in love with God and neighbor as we prepare to take that journey beyond these walls and share that love everywhere we go. Let's not forget to come back each week to this place where we get to practice and learn and grow even deeper. Go in God's peace. Amen.